You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita McGee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, and 100.7. And boy, 2024 has started so wonderful, Ellen.
Yes.
We are heard online as well.
We are all over the World Wide Web, 1510wwbc.com. You can hit that listen live button and get us live right there on any one of your streaming devices. And then, of course, if you want to listen to an archive of the show, right there on the on-demand button, you can select by date. But if you go to our website or to our Facebook pages, our website is cedamediainc.com. Of course, our Facebook page is under Ceda. Ceda posts a lot under her page, Ceda McGee, but also under cedamediainc.com and also Viewpoint with Ceda and Friends. And all of those show, all these shows, it's just so incredible. I went back and looked, and about 80% of the shows for the last 15 years are up and posted. And it's just so great to look back on all of those great folks that are doing wonderful things in our community. And this is truly a community radio show. So right here in Brevard County, all the great things that are going on. However, many other things are going on in other communities as well. So you'll hear things about Chicago but all over the
Brevard
world.
Brevard is the best. I'm just saying.
Because we live here.
So today is no different, right? For our listeners who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends here in Cocoa, Florida, in Melbourne, on the Space Coast, actually. We sit here on Mondays, Ellen O'Neill, myself, sometimes Allie join us. I think Allie's
still vacationing.
She's still on her cruise, and Danny is running aboard. We're so blessed to have a voice in Brevard, a voice, a responsible voice, and speak to people from all walks of life. Anyone who has an issue or something to talk about, we bring them on our show and we chat. We love to talk. And today's no different. You know, I was contacted by the good folks from the Space Coast Seashells Festival. And they wanted to call in and speak on the show about what's going on here at the O'Galley Civic Center. They're going to have a Space Coast Seashell Festival. They're going to be on the first segment. And on the second segment, we have an author, Dr. Terry Chase, is going to be calling in to talk about how she dealt with a broken back and a broken bicycle.
Right. I saw that. That was so
cool. Yeah, and the book is called Spoke by Spoke. So she'll be on the second segment to speak with us. And I think it's going to be a really exciting show. It's so good to have the first show, actually, for Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Last week, we couldn't come in because it was the first of the year. And then prior to that, we came in, but it was Christmas, right? But here we are. We're ready to go. We're raring to go on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. So on the phone, I think we've got a good friend from who's going to talk to us about the Space Coast Seashell Festival. So thank you for calling in. I'm not sure who's, I think it's BJ that's on the phone.
Yes.
BJ, how do we say your last name?
It's Chopay. It's one of those fun names.
BJ Chopay. I would have butchered that. That's a good thing.
that would be normal for anyone.
So BJ, we're so excited that you're taking time out of your busy day to give back to Brevard County, Florida, to keep yourself busy with the beautiful seashells all over God's magnificent planet, and to talk to us about the Astronaut Trail Shell Club and who you are and your mission and all that. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved with the Space Coast Seashell Festival.
This is like that tongue twister.
Yes, it
Susie
is.
Susie sells seashells by the seashore.
Yes, it is sometimes. Yes, I'm one of those rare native Floridians I was born in Daytona Beach. We moved here to the Atlantic when I was about 3 years old. So I've always been around the water. And I've just always been attracted to seashells, water, sea life, and I just love it. My husband's the same way. We both love nature. And the way I got involved with the actual festival is we were directors at our local church here, and we decided to take the youth group to one of the festivals at the auditorium. Well, when I went there, I had no idea what I was going to see. Every creation, every color that you can imagine, I was hooked. I just loved it. So I decided to do more research after that and start studying them. Had no idea there were such beautiful shells around the world.
Right. And so you have an actual club that you meet on Wednesdays, the first Wednesday of every month?
That's correct. And it's from 1 o'clock to around 3, depending. We have programs. And our recent programs that we had, for instance, were shelling in the Florida Keys. We had someone do some beautiful shells from Hawaii.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So, you know, I was reading up a little bit about seashells, and I'm not sure if our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends knows this, but at one time in the history of this universe, seashells was actually used as currency?
Yes, they were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't you remember the Flintstones?
Oh, yeah.
Got a few clams?
Yes, yes.
Got a few shillings?
Probably before the Flintstones,
yeah.
Even.
Yes, 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 yes. And then, of course, me being Hindu, an Indian, we do use the conch as an instrument in the temples. The priest actually blows into the one of those shells, and it makes the most beautiful sounds. So that's another thing about seashells that I'm not sure if people understand, but they're used as instruments as well.
Oh, yes. I've seen some beautiful carvings on the shells you're talking about, yes.
Right. And then they said that seashells are also used as fertilizer in certain places?
I don't see it
much of in the U.S., but I did read that as I was preparing for the show.
Maybe the calcium in the seashells. That would make sense, yes.
Yes, yes, yes. So, tell me a little bit about your club. I know you guys want to educate people to preserve nature's sea life and the shells. What else can you tell us about what the club does, the mission of your club, and who you are?
Okay, we are diverse people, a little bit of everything, just beachcombers. We have doctors. We have retired finance. We have a little bit of, like, engineers, all kind of people just love seashells. And what we do with this seashell festival that's coming up, we like to educate the people about seashells. It's not just maybe a shell that you see on the beach. There's actually a live mollusk. It's like a muscle animal that lives inside the shell that actually creates the beautiful shell on the exterior. And they use that for the protection of the actual animal. And that is the shells are like the second largest in the animal kingdom.
Interesting. I mean, I was preparing for this show and I was like amazed. So your club was founded in 1966. Can you tell us a little bit about R. Tucker Abbott, I guess, a.k.a. Mr. Seashell, who has authored over 30 books about this subject.
Yes, he has. He was actually a previous member before I got involved with the club. I've met his wife, and she's wonderful. And he actually was the founding director of the museum over on Sanibel Island. And it's a wonderful, wonderful museum. It's like a large aquarium when you go in there, and they have, it's like a mini seashell. They have all the families of the seashells, the different colors and variations, and he actually helped start that. And he was originally from Melbourne, lived here in Melbourne, and was a member of our club.
Oh, wow. Interesting to know.
Yeah.
So how does one become a member of the Astronaut Trail Shell Club?
Well, we have meetings every Wednesday, like you had mentioned before, and if you go to the Shell Show and see that you enjoy that, then you probably will enjoy our monthly meetings also. We have different presentations, And you're free to come and visit anytime you want to. If you want to actually join, we have a small fee of $15 to join, and that covers the cost of our newsletter that we send out monthly.
Yeah. Well, that's understandable, right, Ellen? I mean, everything costs money. So, you know, I don't think a lot of human beings understand the health and the beauty and the diversity of the Earth's sea life. And what you guys are doing is you're spreading the knowledge, not just for us, but generations to come. So I applaud you for that. So tell us some of the things you guys do with the club, besides the festival, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. You educate the public. You educate school children. You do a lot of stuff in town to help people to understand sea life. Am I correct?
That is correct. We go. I have gone, and one of my girlfriends, we go together in the past and go to the schools, take our shells with them, with us to show the kids and let them touch and feel them and ask questions about them and tell them a little bit about the creation of them and explain to them it's not just the hard shell, that it is an actual living animal at one time.
Yep.
I know.
So in your expert opinion, what's the best time to go look for shells? When you're out on the beach or evening?
There is a good time, and always after a storm, and like, that's one good thing about our hurricanes. After a hurricane, we have more shells.
Well, there's a bonus.
And you don't usually go like the day after. It takes a couple days, 2, maybe even 3 days, for them to actually come rolling in from the deeper part of the ocean where they've been all stirred up. And a lot of people go at low tide because not all the shells get pushed all the way up onto the beach.
Wow. So you do this festival every year, and you've got quite an attendance. You had over 1,000 people that attended, I think, last year.
Oh, yeah. We expect probably 2,000 or 3,000 this year. We've done some.
So let's talk about what people can expect at this free event with world-class shell specimens. Talk to us a little bit about where the event is going to be held, the address. I know it's free to the public, but people are encouraged to make a donation if they want, which I think is a great idea. So talk to our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends a little bit about this event that goes back, actually, Ellen, 40 years.
It's 44
years.
44.
Yes,
I didn't even know about this. I'm so glad you guys reached out to us. Let's chat about the festival.
Okay. It's located right on Highland Avenue in the Art District of O'Galley at the Civic Center. It's 1551 Highland. And like you had mentioned, it is free admission. We're totally sold out this year, so there will be rows and rows of shells on exhibit. We also have vendors from around the world that will be there, from the United States, to sell shells if someone, you know, wishes to purchase them or just look at them. We have like specimen shells that people have huge collections, like myself. And that's my good habit.
Right. That's awesome.
And, you know, just common shells that are good for beginners, which actually some of the common shells are some of my favorite shells. I don't have to have a rare shell that, you know, people love to get because it's rare. Some of the common ones are just beautiful to me.
So what would you consider a common shell versus an uncommon?
Well, like on our beaches here, the olive shell, that's a like a long, shiny shell, you know, because they're plentiful.
Okay.
Like a lot of the shells that are rare are usually very deep in the ocean, and they don't really come up onto the beach that often. People dive for them, maybe, and or they're dredging sometimes when they're doing research and they find them. So those would be rare shells.
I remember over in, speaking of diving, I don't mean to cut you off, over in Tarpon Springs, the sponge divers, they used to come, I remember there's a small little shell museum, I guess, if you want to call it that, over in Tarpon Springs area as well. And I remember them talking about the sponge divers being basically the ones that kind of harvested those shells from that area.
Yeah, we went over there we took the kids over there for a school field trip, and I've lived here all my life in Florida, but never went there and saw it. And we saw the sponges, and we got to go on the boat that they take out and everything, and of course they had a little movie that previewed, you know, how they went and got the sponges. And it's very active today still.
Yes,
they absolutely do that.
So for our listeners who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, we're speaking with the treasurer of the Astronaut Trail Shell Club, Miss B.J. Chopé. It sounds so like
it's
French.
You got it. It is.
Yeah. And so what they do, they're a group of dedicated human beings who are just want to share their knowledge of seashells and sea life with us, with people who are so busy that they don't take the time to appreciate the beauty of the sea and of nature. So at this event on January 21st, is it the 20th and the 21st, 2 days? You also have a corner for the children. Talk to us about the hands-on corner for the children.
We're going to have a little bit of everything for the children. It's new this year. We're going to offer them free shells. They're going to have baskets of shells they can pick out. Activities, they're going to be painting on shells. They're going to be coloring sea life pages out of a book, you know, coloring book. And also, we have face painting for the kids this year, too, and they always like that.
Yeah. And is it true that some of these the specimens, are twice the size of a football?
Yes. If you look at the gallery right downtown where the Civic Center is, they have some of our shells on display, and some of the big ones are there.
Yeah, and I'm from the Caribbean, so I understand you also have some shells from the Caribbean.
Yes, my husband and I, we would go with the club on field trips all over the different islands, usually about 3 times a year. So we've collected over there, and then we bought a house or second home in the Keys and started just exploring all the islands over there. And they're just as beautiful as in the Caribbean. It's just gorgeous. People don't realize. I've talked to people that's never gone to the Florida Keys, and we have so much to offer down there.
Well, your voice tells us everything. You are passionate about it, and I could tell you absolutely love anything to do with sea life and shells, and that's a beautiful thing. All of us have to find something that makes us as happy as you are. So you're also inviting the painters and artists from the area to participate in this seashell festival as well.
Yes, we are. We will have live demos with them. One of our other members contacted them, had a contact, and they were excited to do it with us. And I believe it's 4 girls that are coming from the gallery, and they're going to have live demos of different seashells or landscapes, whichever they choose. And it will probably be 2 times on each day, but not just for 5 minutes. They'll be there for a long time demonstrating.
Yeah. And you said you were sold out because you had multiple vendors and a lot of handcrafted, beautiful jewelry will be for sale and for people just to look at for if they want to buy it or if they want to get involved in how to make jewelry. You have all this stuff that you're offering.
Yes, we do. We have a raffle table, too. We've got like 20 items, which is 3 times what we usually have. And there'll be shells in the raffle, jewelry, food gift baskets. We have someone that just donated a boat tour to some of the islands over on the west coast that there's always shells on to collect. We have a big shell mirror, pictures of shells, and books that local treasure diver here in our town has donated 2 of their books. His wife, he's no longer with us, he has passed. But they've written books on treasure hunting and salvaging some of the artifacts from a long time ago.
2 of our
those books will be in the in the raffle. Quite interesting.
Right, and you also have a lot of gift certificates, and some of them are for the Pineapple Restaurant, which everybody loves, right?
Yes, ma'am, we do.
No, so tell us, what else can we do to help you to advertise this awesome festival that's coming up? I mean, to me, it sounds like it's a win-win for the citizens of Brevard. You come in, you have raffles, you have vendors, you see, learn something about the sea life. What else can we do to help you all promote this event?
Just if you just keep spreading the word, that's what we usually do. We have brochures all over the city out, And if someone comes for the first time, they will, like I was when I went into the auditorium, I knew our local shells, but first time we went into the auditorium and saw the diversity of all the shells, I mean, you don't think they're real at first.
Yeah.
Some of the creation is so delicate. And
so from a collection standpoint, you said you're a collector. How much would a collection go for? I mean, obviously it has something to do with the size of the collection and maybe the rarity of the specimens.
Serious collections like me.
Right.
we have thousands of shells. They're worth a lot. In fact, some people actually insure their shells, but I don't do it for that. I do it just because I love it. All my grandchildren just love shells, and
that's awesome.
It's almost like once you get started into it, it kind of then starts to run in the family because you're spreading the joy. Again, it's all about education and knowledge, right?
Yes, and they even studied, they homeschool, and they even studied in school, you know, in their science class, and they were able to take pictures of when they were collecting. We taught them to dive down in the Keys with us, and we taught them in our pool, and then we put them in the ocean, and I thought, oh, it's going to be different. They just took right to it because you get under that water and you start looking at everything. It's like you're in the middle of an aquarium.
Yeah, well, I know where I'm from, Trinidad and Tobago, we have a lot of things in the sea that people, we have like a reef, beautiful reefs and stuff.
Oh, yes.
That people go to Tobago just to see that. So here's the question that a lot of people's on a lot of people's minds. Is this event pet friendly? Can you bring a pet?
No, and it's because of the auditorium. It might be because of their insurance. I'm not sure, because we're at the O'Galley Auditorium. What I understand, at the Melbourne, we did have one of our vendors that always brought his small dogs, but for some reason, the O'Galley one does not allow that.
Okay, and the event is free, like we discussed before. What about if people are coming in from out of town? I know we have a lot of nearby hotels and stuff for people to stay at, and those things are always good for people to know ahead of time.
Yes, you mean as far as where to stay?
Yeah, I think I saw it. They had said
nearby
hotels.
Well, Everything Bavard actually did a really nice article and actually put the hotels in there.
Yeah, I saw a lot of hotels that was mentioned. And the parking is free, which is great. You don't have to look for parking.
Yes, that's correct. Uh-huh.
So tell us a little bit about when you say there's live painting demonstrations. Is it just painting of shells or other paintings?
It will be of shells or sea life landscape, you know, of the ocean. I don't know exactly if that's up to the individual artist, but they happen to, at the gallery, decided to do the same month. They're going to do, like, pictures of shells and landscaping. And I think some is, like, pastel painting, maybe pencil art, somebody said. I haven't really seen that yet because it's new this year to us.
Yeah. So for our listeners who are tuning in, whether you're interested in a few seashells you collected on the beach, or if you just want to be an avid seashell collector from exotic locals here and around the world, I know that you'd like to know get the information about the website or the phone number for the Astronaut Trail Shell Club. And I think BJ can give us the website and she can give us the information for our listeners if someone wanted to join. So give us the information if you don't mind, BJ.
Not a problem. Our website is Space Coast Seashells, and that's on Facebook or our website. We don't have an actual club number, but I'm happy to give mine out if anyone has any questions after this or want more information. It's area code 321-725-9991.
Right. And give us the information about the festival one more time so people who are interested could add it to their calendar and they'll be able to attend the event.
Certainly. It's coming up soon. It's going to be the 20th and 21st of this month. Hours are the same on both Saturday and Sunday, 9:30 to 4. And just grab your neighbors and bring.
Yeah. And learn something new. I mean, because, again, from a shell perspective, I think I do the same thing as everybody else. You find one that you think is pretty and you pick it up and it goes in your pocket or whatever you're holding it with, and then somehow it gets in the house. But I would, you know, now that I know that this is here, I should learn a little bit more history of.
Me too. And you know, like when you're little and you're taking a walk on the beach with your friends, you pick up all these shells, and a lot of people keep them. Yeah. You put them in a little container or something. But how wonderful it is to attend the Space Coast Seashell Festival and maybe learn to do something with those shells other than put it in a container, right,
BJ? Or learn how to preserve them so that way they last a long time, like the collection that BJ has.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd love to see your collection sometime, BJ. It sounds fascinating.
You are welcome. I've been told I have a mini museum here sometimes, but I love to look at them all day, so that doesn't bother me a bit.
Yeah, and what wonderful it is that you share your joy and the love of nature and the love of sea life with us. I mean, it's just amazing that there's so many things going on in Brevard that when you guys reach out to me and I research it, I'm like, oh my God, I never thought we would have something as fascinating as this club right here in Brevard, and that your event is free and you're offering it to the public so that you could spread your knowledge and experience with us.
Yes, we're trying to keep it free because it's just a good family outing. It really is.
Right, and I just want to reiterate and tell our listeners that the festival features scientific displays, artistic and scientific vendors, live demonstrations, and more. And a lot of your specimens are world-class shell specimens, which a lot of people wouldn't take the time to go on a dive or fly to the Caribbean and go to one of the reefs or something. So it's wonderful that you're bringing that to us here in Brevard.
Thank you.
Yes, and I will share all of this information on all of our website and Facebook, social media pages, all of those good things. And I hope you get the best turnout you've ever had.
Thank you. We're hoping for that, too, and it kind of looks like we will.
Sounds
like. We've had some good phone calls and excited about it.
Yes, and BJ, thank you for taking the time to call in. I know we had discussed that you may come in person, but maybe during the year you guys can come in person and bring a couple of your shells and we could take some pictures with them.
Okay. We do some crafting, too. We have ladies that make pictures of the shells. We have one lady that does beautiful bouquets made out of teensy tiny shells. They don't look real, but they're actually seashells, the flowers.
Well, we'd like to see some of your beautiful handcrafted shell home decor and the jewelry as well. So if I have the time, I'm working those days, but I will try to come by afterwards.
Oh, we hope so. We hope we get to meet you there.
Thank you.
Well, thanks again, listeners, for tuning in, and we are going to take a quick station break. Listen to our sponsors, and we'll be right back right after these messages with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County and Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture.
Welcome to MedFast Urgent Care. We are Brevard County's largest urgent care network. MedFast is now open at 7:30 a.m. every day. That's right, 7:30 a.m. every day. We will get you in and out so you can get back to your day. When you are sick or injured, MedFast is here for you 7 days a week. Think fast, think MedFast. With 18 locations, there's a MedFast near you. Call 321-MEDFAST.
Are you longing for a taste of Louisiana? Lizette's Cajun Bistro is the place to be. They offer Cajun and Creole staples as well as American, vegan, and vegetarian options. The restaurant is located at 2447 North Wickham Road, Unit 146. All menu items are prepared daily from scratch and made to order. Dine in or take out as well as outside seating. Live music on selected weekends. So the next time you have a taste for Louisiana, stop by Lizette's Cajun Bistro, 2447 North Wickham Road.
Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads. 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000. Or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends for the second half of our show today. Ellen, what a great first segment. Like you said, who would have thought?
Who would have thought that we had a community of people that really love seashells
and sea life?
Collect them like that. You know, and like cute. Anyway, go to the Seashell Festival in Nogales. It's at the auditorium. It's the 20th. I believe it's the 20th and 21st, right?
Right, and it's amazing, you know, that it's free admission, and you could see so much stuff that they're offering seashells from all over the Caribbean as well.
Yep, but so we have one more public service announcement. Our friends at Green Gables are having a fundraiser somewhere in time. It's a gala for Green Gables. It's going to be Friday, February 9th from 6 to 11 p.m., and the tickets are $75. It's a formal, semi-formal affair. It's going to be at 1450 Sarno Road, which is Asado's, or Grand Manor. They have that restaurant there as well. So the theme is Somewhere in Time. It'll be a wonderful event you won't want to miss. Mark your calendar and support Green Gables while having an elegant evening at Grand Manor at 1450 Sarno Road in Melbourne. There'll be a live auction. There'll be all kinds of, you know, events. And, of course, it's always a networking event of those types of places. You really get to see a lot of folks in the community that only come to support these types of events. So it's a really, really nice. Hopefully everybody will be able to get to it. Just go to the website for Green Gables and you'll be able to purchase your tickets.
Right. And so our second segment, as usual, we're heard on FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7. We're also heard on AM 1510 and online everywhere, Ellen.
That's right.
People can hear us on the World Wide Web.
That's right. 1510 WWBC, just hit that listen live button.
Right. Our second segment, as you know, we have the most wonderful guests that I contact through social media, or people call us or send us emails. And our second segment is no different. We have Terry Trace, Dr. Terry Trace, who's calling in to speak a little bit about an accident that happened with her on a bike, and how she recovered from that, her life experience, and how she's sharing that with us. It's an amazing story. Her book is called Spoke by Spoke, and it just takes us on this woman's journey to reinvent herself following a hit and run, actually, which, you know, one of our friends passed away like that here a few years ago.
John's wife.
That's right. Barbara. That's right. So anyway, without further ado, I think Dr. Terry Trace is on the phone, and welcome to our show.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And I just want to let your listeners know that I'm calling in from Western Colorado. We have bright blue skies today, but our temperature is about probably just under 30 degrees. So we're a little colder than where you guys are.
Oh, boy. Well, we're going to be sending you some sunshine. We'll throw it to you.
Please.
So I've watched you on social media, and you are a speaker, an author, a consultant, a coach. And when you speak, and you speak about wholeheartedness and just living and breathing and being alive in the moment, it speaks to me and so many people. Talk to us a little bit. Give us a little background story about yourself and how you got into writing.
Sure. Well, thank you so much again for having me, Sita. I really do appreciate that you reached out. So let me just get right to it, because I know our time is short and valuable. So in 1988, I was riding a bike here on the outskirts of Grand Junction, Colorado, which is the town I'm living in now. And I was hit from behind by a drunk driver. Flipped me up onto the car. He swerved. I hit the ground. Had a busted back, a spinal cord injury, and it left me half paralyzed. And the book that I wrote that you mentioned, Spoke by Spoke, How a Broken Back and a Broken Bike Led to a Wholehearted Life, is really a collection of stories about my process of transformation over the last 35 years. And I hesitated putting the book out for several years because I didn't want it to be a preachy, you know, saying like, hey, if I can do it, you can do it. Or I didn't want it to be a checklist of, if you want a wholehearted life, this is what you do. I really wanted to inspire people with my process. And my process wasn't clean and easy. I mean, I had ups, downs, and all arounds. And, you know, I had times of deep, deep, dark depression. Like, you know, I was a very active 32-year-old woman. I was a PE teacher, a mountain climber, rode my bike, you know, many, many miles. And it was difficult to figure out, what am I going to do and to lift myself up and get on with life. And so I was able to put together my stories, and then from the stories and the book, you know, I speak about three lessons learned, one of them being, you know, taking the first step. And what I found was that when I wanted to make a change, when I wanted to do something different, there could be all kinds of stuff on the outside of me. Hey, come do this, come do that. But really, the best way that I've figured out to make change and to take action in my life was the first step had to happen inside of myself.
Right. And you know, being a healthcare professional, you know, sometimes nurses, we are our worst enemies at times.
Yeah, right. I know.
I mean, it's easy for us to give shots, and it's easy for us to tell our patient what to do. But when we're in that bed and we're patient ourselves, it is very, very difficult. So I applaud you for being that motivated to get up and go, and step by step, like you say, you did it.
Yeah, well, now let me also let you know, and your readers too, I didn't become a nurse until after I got hurt. So one of my stories in my book is called Flinging Forward, and I was very inspired by the work, the people, the nurses who were with me and stood by me in my pain, and I was very inspired by Gene Watson's work, you know, the theory of human caring. And so I flung myself literally into the nursing doctorate program here in Colorado, and it was hard. I mean, and then, you know, another career that I've had is being a faculty member in the BSN program, and so I would empathize with my students about nursing school is hard. I know it. I did it in a wheelchair. It was tough.
So you had to reinvent yourself after that accident. What happened that day? Were you conscious when they found you? Who found you? Because, I mean, we had the exact same thing happen to a good friend of ours, and it was heartbreaking. Take us to that day if you can, because sure. I can just imagine the despair that you felt at that moment.
Right. Well, basically what happened was I did remain conscious. I remained conscious throughout the whole thing, thank God. The guy who hit me drove off, and then the man who was behind, you know, who was driving on the car behind him stopped and protected me while they called 911. But what was going on in my mind was that I needed to get back to teaching. I was a physical education teacher at the time, and I was very motivated, you know, through a series of things. I mean, I'm kind of skipping forward because we don't have a lot of time, but...
Hello? Oh, I think we... Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. We thought we lost you for a moment. So what is the takeaway from someone reading Spoke by Spoke? What do you want people to get from it?
Yeah, and I wanted the students to know that, you know, we go on. If something bad happens, you can go on. So I was very motivated to get back to teaching.
Yes. And your process for writing the book, I know it took a long time. So what was your process of writing?
So the process of writing was I started writing stories probably 8 or 10 years ago. And then that was during the time where I didn't think I wanted to share it with anybody because I didn't want to be, you know, I didn't want to tell anybody what to do or be preachy.
Yeah.
And then a few years ago, I got kind of this aha that, you know, I have a story to tell and it might help people.
Yeah, so It definitely will. So did you have certain parts of your book after you wrote it that you had to take out for some reason or the other? Because I know a lot of authors, they write and then they say, oh gosh, I can't leave this and I have to take this out. And you just say, oh my God, this has to be condensed.
Yeah, I had probably close to 60,000 words, and we had to condense it down to below 40,000. So yes, some stories went by the wayside, and to be honest, I actually wrote some new stories while we were putting things together. So I got an editor who was really good. He always kept my voice in anything that, you know, he said we needed to change, or, you know, he was really just kind of cleaning up my language a little bit and my English. But yeah, and then I got some help with, you know, helping me with getting a cover developed, and I created my own publishing. It's called pushonpress.com, Push On Press Inc. So I self-publish, and it's on Amazon and bookshop.org,
yeah,
and it's also on Audible.
Your website is very accessible as well. Whoever did your website, it's very user-friendly. I love it.
Good.
Yes.
I hope people go visit it.
Yeah, now tell our listeners here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, Dr. Terry Chase, a little bit about what was your favorite chapter in your own book?
That's a great question. I don't know. I mean, all of them are like little children to me, and I love them all. You know, so, like, is it a crying day or a laughing day? I mean, that was a good one because it really showed the ups and downs of being in rehab. I mean, not everything was happy and not everything was sad. And I had a really, really great rehab tech. Her name was Earlene. We called her Earl the Pearl. So, you know, when I think about that chapter, I love it. I did write one, and you probably know this as being in healthcare yourself. You know, sometimes when you have neurogenic bladder and bowel, you can't control when you're going to pee. So I wrote Roadside, so it talks about me, you know, having to jump out of my car and pee on the roadside.
Well, that's a normal thing back in the Caribbean. You know, people just pull over and in the grass, in the bush.
Okay, well, then good. I'll fit right in.
Yeah.
Bringing Forward is about going to nursing school. The Wind Chime, I think Wind Chime is an important one, too, because it talks about the process of transformation. You know, transformation is not more information. It's actually changing and reforming. And I took my bike that I got hit on, and I changed it into a wind chime. So that's an awesome chapter. And then all my chapters around working with the horses, which is probably a whole other interview.
Yeah, I know. I saw that.
Yeah.
So, you know, most people, when they write a book and they have such a following, they're like, you know what, I need to write another one. So do we expect a follow-up to Spoke by Spoke? And the name of the book, though, it just, you know, you really have to think about it. When it says Spoke by Spoke, it's a bicycle spokes you're talking about.
Yeah,
yeah, it's
exactly.
It's beautiful. So is there a follow-up to Spoke by Spoke?
Yeah, so I've got a couple of different things. One I'm going to start working on this year is actually kind of a toolkit, or I'm not exactly sure what to call it, but I'd let you, like, a journal, a self-guided journal. I want people to get something out of the reading. And you know, as a you know, when you're helping people learn stuff, unless you actually give them something to work with, they're not going to do it. So I'm working on putting together a toolkit, a journal, a journaling book, a companion guide, something like that. And then I have some other writing projects. But yeah, so Spoke by Spoke is living on. It just celebrated its 2-year birthday in November, and so I think it's time for it to get up and get on moving again.
I love the way you have reinvented yourself, and you're so positive. And you just keep living each day at a time, and it's just absolutely wonderful. We really need more people like you in our world, for real. But share with our audience, how did your family react to the accident? Yeah. And did you get a lot of assistance from them? Were they involved in you writing the book? Talk to us about the family dynamics, because everybody has a story to tell, right? And you learn so much about yourself and your family when things happen like this.
Yeah. Well, I'll make it short. My family really stepped forward. I live by myself in Western Colorado. I was single. I had a few relationships going, but nothing major. My family did step up to help me throughout my injury and then getting me back to work. But I essentially lived by myself afterwards. As far as in writing the book, I actually have another probably 40,000-page draft of a memoir concerning my relationship with my mom and my family. Now, that's another book that I say is peeking out from underneath everything, and that might be something. But I think, you know, as you know, family dynamics, we all have our dynamics, but what I've come to realize is that this is my family. You know, everybody's got their differences. Everybody's got their gig, and I appreciate what they have done for me, and I will always be there for them as well.
Yes, yes. So, Dr. Chase, what does literary success looks like to you?
Literary success is that I got a book. I'm very happy. I want to put it in the hands of many, many people. I want to go to book signings. I love being on interviews. I've done several podcasts, and people go to my website, drterrychase.com. They'll be able to see those podcasts. I love doing live book signings because then I get to talk with people. I also do readings. Like I go down to retirement communities and do different sessions, and one of them was I read a couple of chapters of my book and then asked the folks, you know, how can they relate to that? What is their story in their life? Because I'm not the only one who's been through something bad. Everybody's got something.
Oh, yeah, you better believe it. Everybody wakes up every day and has something going on, but it's just the way we deal with it, right? Some people can cope. And some people can't, and you are certainly helping us and showing us a way forward to come back from and reinvent yourself from such a tragic accident. So, what was the most difficult thing about writing your book?
I think it was that point where I decided that okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to share this with people because I was holding myself back. I was withholding. And I was hiding, and it wasn't doing anybody any good. And I finally had to do, you know, through my own personal work and my own personal transformation, realize that, you know, I can't hide anymore. That's not helpful, and I want to be helpful. So that was probably getting to that place was tough, and I knew that it was something that needed to be done.
Well, you know, spinal cord injury, we all remember, you know, when Superman, Christopher Reeve, right? Yeah. And how the world prayed. I know I did because I loved him so much, And spinal cord injury, it scares so many people. And you had to do a lot of work through that. So talk to our listening audience on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends a little bit about those dark days and how you faced it.
Sure. Well, I just want to make sure that people know that my level of injury is a lot lower and a lot different than Superman. Superman was a high level of injury.
Yes.
He was a quadriplegic, so all four of his limbs and his breathing mechanisms were affected by his injury. I'm a paraplegic, an incomplete paraplegic. So my paralysis, I'm an incomplete. So from the waist down, I have splotches of good muscle and good sensation, and then I have places where there is no muscle and no sensation. So for me, it was about losing my ability to walk, losing my ability to be out in the field with kids, climb mountains, ride bikes, and walk my dog. So it was being able to figure out, okay, if I want to do all of those things, how can I do them and yet do them differently? So my garage is called the Sports Castle. I have all kinds of different sports equipment. So this is one thing. If you've got listeners out there with disability or anything going on with them, I would encourage them to go try something. Just go do something. You know, find out if in your community, and I know I'm going to be going down to Tampa in a couple of weeks. They've got a great adaptive sports program down there. I'm going to jump in and play tennis with those guys down in Tampa in 3 weeks.
So you're such an inspiration, you know that? Because there's so many people. We see a lot of people here in wheelchairs walking their dogs, and that seems to be such a high point of people's days when they could still do that, even though they're injured.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and okay, just one more thing, one other piece of wisdom. People with disabilities can become very isolated. So, you know, as a healthcare provider, and I'm sure you're in tune listeners, loneliness is our number one public health problem right now. So, we need to reach out. You know, reach out to somebody. Hey, how you doing? What's going on? Want to go for coffee? Can I walk with you and your dog? And so, reach out, and if you're a person who's feeling lonely, reach out. Do something. Because we don't want, you know, loneliness is as bad for your health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
Oh,
that's not good.
Tell me about it. You know, that's why I think in the islands where, you know, the Caribbean, people are so friendly. You could meet somebody today and tomorrow they're in your house having curry chicken and rice with you, you know? But here's the thing.
Exactly.
Hey, and by the way, Sita is a healthcare professional and curry is a number one antibiotic.
That's right. but you hit it right on the head, because people are so lonely and so many people just want a pill to fix it. And
right,
pills don't fix everything. Sometimes you need that human touch. I have seen wonders with people who got off medication and instead they're visiting with someone. They're doing something.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking forward to a ride in the park or a walk on the beach or having a cup of coffee or lunch. You know, it does make a difference. And I'm so glad you touched on that. So tell us a little bit about your personal and professional mission and what are you doing currently?
Right. Well, my mission professionally is to really help healthcare providers, educators, people who work with others, who are always giving of themselves, and to help them with, you know, their own well-being. So I do a lot of my speaking, a lot of my workshops, a lot of the work that I do with individuals and groups is around, you know, upping their well-being through some really great, you know, experiential exercises, some mindset work, you know, dealing with time. You know, we're always so, I don't have enough time. Like, okay, well, let's set the clock. Let's set the timer for 3 minutes. Pick something that you feel like you haven't enough time for, and let's do it. And they're like, oh, my God, I had time. I'm like, see? So we do that stuff, that kind of stuff. I also have a dog, Shamley. She's a black lab mix, and she and I are a therapy team. So our mission is to help people feel better. So we go and visit people at the retirement communities, down at the VA. We go to kids, you know, some kids organizations too. And really, it's about that human connection. You know, it's connecting. It's seeing that spark in others and really, you know, celebrating that.
So you faced so many challenges with your spinal cord injury, but you didn't let that keep you down. You woke up one day and you said, that's it. I'm not going to let this be who I am. And I want that message, I think, resonates with so many people, because some people don't even have a spinal cord injury. They don't have anything wrong with them, but they're still laying there feeling sorry for themselves, right? And your book is going to bring them out of that. So... Now, I know we don't have a lot of time, but somehow, somewhere, working with horses come into the picture, and you doing coaching and consulting. We only have a couple of minutes left, but why horses?
Well, horses are the masters of connection in relationship. They're very present. They're very here and now. They're not worried what they're having for lunch later, although they do love to eat.
Yeah.
You know, they like to eat like 15 hours a day. But they're very present-oriented. So in the work that I've done with myself and that in the workshops that I do with others is that we start with being very grounded and very present. And then we'll do some hands-on stuff. But the horses, I think being around horses have made me a better human being.
Yeah, evidently. You have bounced back from so much despair, and you faced so many trials and tribulations and challenges. You are amazing. So before we go off air, I have to ask you a silly question. Do you have any unique or quirky writing habits?
Well, one of the things that's really helped me is I set the timer for 25 minutes. And once I do that, it's like I usually do a 10-day sprint. I call it a 10-day sprint. I set the clock for 25 minutes timer. I write, It goes off, ding, 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 ding. And in my mind, it's like, okay, I got five more minutes. I write or clean up for five more minutes, and I'm done. And I actually can produce at least 1,000 words in a 30-minute time period. Now, they may not be perfect, and they're not buffed. You know, they're kind of like the first draft. Well, they are the first draft or whatever. But that's a really good habit that I got into, that I set that timer. I keep writing. I don't stop. I don't get distracted. I don't look at emails. I don't look at Facebook. I just write.
Huh. You don't look at Facebook. Well, your book is certainly about love and courage and hope.
Yeah.
And it really resonates with so many people that, you know, today you're well and you're driving and you're doing your stuff. And like you're riding your bike, something you absolutely love to do. And here comes a drunk driver that hits you, left you there for dead. God knows what happened. And you wrote this book spoke by spoke. And you kind of incorporated it into your life to live such a wholehearted life. Tell our listeners where they can find your book, and if somebody wanted to book you for a speaking engagement or something, how can we find you?
Sure. Well, the easiest way to find me is to, first of all, and to learn more about me, is to look at my website, www.drperrychase.com. It's also, the book Spoke by Spoke is available on Amazon, both in paperback and in Audible. And also, if you're an independent bookstore lover, you can get it on bookshop.org. But I'd love to have conversation. My contact information is also on LinkedIn. You can look me up at Terry Chase Speaks, I believe, or just look at Terry Chase and you'll find my page. And then I do roam around on Facebook a little bit, but professionally speaking, LinkedIn and my website would be the best places to go.
Yeah, I mean, you strike me as an individual who there's laughter in your book, there's tears in your book, there's healing in your book, there's compassion in your book, and there's a will to live. Did faith play a part in your life as well while writing the book?
Yeah, spirituality is a big deal to me. I mean, I was raised in the Catholic Church. If I had to take a test to see if I was the best Catholic ever, I probably wouldn't pass. But my deep-seated spirituality and appreciation of the sacred is what also supports my writing and supports my work in the world.
Well, you had Ellen smiling with that one, because I think what she's thinking is there's a lot of people that would join you and say they won't be the best.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but you know, it's my spiritual foundation. You think about the mystical element of the Catholic Church, all of that. I mean, that's my grounding and that's my foundation of spirituality, for sure.
Talk about perseverance and resilience, and you are an amazing human being with such a wonderful spirit. It's so good to have you on our show, Dr. Chase, for the first show of the year 2024, and give so many people hope and share your stories with us.
And encouragement, yes, absolutely. We'll make sure we put all of your links and information of how to get a hold of you on our Facebook page, as well as our website, cedamediainc.com. And, you know, of course, you can always contact by Zoom, right? So people can get classes by Zoom or information
I do virtual coaching groups and stuff like that.
Absolutely. Yeah, so we will make sure we get all this information out. And Dr. Chase, thank you so much for hanging out with us today and sharing the airwaves. Another wonderful segment here on Viewpoint with Sita and friend Sita. Thanks again for another great year.
Thank you for your work, too. I see that you're really committed to increasing awareness.
Thank you.
Poverty and all that stuff. So thank you for giving a voice to all of us. Thank you.
And writing a book is an adventure, and I can't wait for your other book, Dr. Chase.
Absolutely. Right, folks, well, tune in each and every Monday here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, 1510 WWBC, 94.7, 99.9, and 100.7. Each and every Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will talk to you next week.